Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from the life and diary of David Brainerd. We're in the year 1743 in the northeastern part of the United States as young David Brainerd, who's old in the spirit, in the matters of the spirit, but still a very young man in his 20s, is ministering to a tribe of Indians and writing in his journal, not just about the work that he does with the Indians, but especially the work that he does with God. It's Thursday, December 1, 1743. Both morning and evening, I enjoyed some intenseness of soul in prayer. I longed for the enlargement of Christ's kingdom in the world. My soul seems of late to wait on God for his blessing on Zion. Oh, that religion might powerfully revive. Friday, December 2nd. Enjoyed not so much health of body or fervor of mind as yesterday. If the chariot wheels move with ease and speed at any time for a short space, yet by and by they drive heavily again. Oh, that I had the wings of a dove, that I might fly away from sin and corruption and be at rest in God. Saturday, December 3rd. Rode home to my house and people. Suffered much with the extreme cold. I trust I shall ere long arrive safe at my journey's end, where my toils shall cease. Lord's Day, December 4. Had but little sense of divine and heavenly things. My soul mourns over my barrenness. Oh, how sad is spiritual deadness. Monday, December 5, rode to Stockbridge. Was almost outdone with the extreme cold. Had some refreshing meditations by the way, but was barren, wandering, and lifeless much of the day. Thus my days roll away with but little done for God. And this is my burden. Tuesday, December 6, was perplexed to see the vanity and levity of professed Christians. Spent the evening with a Christian friend who was able in some measure to sympathize with me in my spiritual conflicts. Was a little refreshed to find one with whom I could converse of inward trials and so on. Wednesday, December 7, spent the evening in perplexity with a kind of guilty indolence. When I have no heart or resolution for God and the duties incumbent on me, I feel guilty of negligence and misimprovement of time. Certainly I ought to be engaged in my work and business to the utmost extent of my strength and ability. Thursday, December 8. My mind was much distracted with different affections. I seemed to be at an amazing distance from God, and looking round in the world to see if there was not some happiness to be derived from it. God and certain objects in the world seemed each to invite my heart and affections, and my soul seemed to be distracted between them. I have not been so much beset with the world for a long time, and that with relation to some particular objects which I thought myself most dead to. But even while I was desiring to please myself with anything below, guilt, sorrow, and perplexity attended the first motions of desire. Indeed, I cannot see the appearance of pleasure and happiness in the world as I used to do. And blessed be God for any habitual deadness to the world. I found no peace or deliverance from this distraction and perplexity of mind till I found access to the throne of grace. And as soon as I had any sense of God and things divine, the allurements of the world vanished. My heart was determined for God. But my soul mourned over my folly, that I should desire any pleasure but only in God. God forgive my spiritual idolatry. The next 13 days he appears to have been continually in deep concern about the improvement of precious time. There are many expressions of grief that he improved time no better, such as, "Oh, what a misery I do feel when my thoughts rove after vanity. I should be happy I could begin this year with God and spend the whole day of it to his glory." Excuse me. I should be happy if always engaged for God. Wretched man that I am. He speaks of his being pained with a sense of his barrenness, perplexed with his wanderings, longing for deliverance from the being of sin, mourning that time passed away and so little was done for God. On Tuesday, December 20, he speaks of his being visited at Kanamik by some under spiritual concern. Thursday, December 22, spent this day alone in fasting and prayer and reading in God's Word the exercises and deliverances of his children. Had, I trust, some exercise of faith and a realizing apprehension of divine power, grace, and holiness, and also of the unchangeable of God, that he is the same as when he delivered his saints of old out of great tribulation. My soul was sundry times in prayer enlarged for God's church and people, all that Zion might become the joy of the whole earth. It is better to wait upon God with patience than to put confidence in anything in this lower world. My soul, wait thou on the Lord, for from him comes thy salvation. Friday, December 23rd. Felt a little more courage and resolution in religion than at some other times. Saturday, December 24. Had some assistance and longing desires after sanctification in prayer this day, especially in the evening. Was sensible of my own weakness and spiritual impotency. Saw plainly I should fall into sin if God of his abundant mercy did not uphold in soul and withhold me from evil. Oh, that God would uphold me by his free spirit and save me from the hour of temptation. Lord's Day, December 25. Prayed much in the morning with a feeling sense of my own spiritual weakness and insufficiency for any duty. God gave me some assistance in preaching to the Indians, and especially in the afternoon when I was enabled to speak with uncommon plainness, freedom, and earnestness. Blessed be God for any assistance granted to one so unworthy. Afterwards felt some thankfulness, but still sensible of barrenness. Spent some time in the evening with one or two persons under spiritual concern and exhorting others to their duty. Now you will notice, if I may break in here, it is December 25, what we call Christ Mass, Christmas Day, but no mention of it by this brother in the 1700s, and that was common among the Bible-believing Christians of that day. I don't know the exact dates when it finally crept into the Protestant church, but the early Christians who came out of the Reformation, came out of the Church of Rome, came out of those things altogether, all those added feast days, they just ignored. Would that it could still be, but we have developed a monster, this Christmas thing. But that's just Bob talking. But his silence is pretty loud, don't you think? Monday, December 26, rode down to Stockbridge. Was very much fatigued with my journey, wherein I underwent great hardships. Was much exposed and very wet by falling into a river. Spent the day and evening without much sense of divine and heavenly things, but felt guilty, grieved, and perplexed with wandering, careless thoughts. Tuesday, December 27, had a small degree of warmth in secret prayer in the evening, but alas, had but little spiritual life, and consequently but little comfort. Oh, the pressure of a body of death. Wednesday, December 28, rode about 6 miles to the ordination of Mr. Hopkins. At the solemnity, I was somewhat affected with a sense of the greatness and importance of the work of a minister of Christ. Afterwards was grieved to see the vanity of the multitude. In the evening, spent a little time with some Christian friends, with some degree of satisfaction. But most of the time, I had rather have been alone. Thursday, December 29, spent the day mainly in conversing with friends, yet enjoyed little satisfaction because I could find but few disposed to converse of divine and heavenly things. Alas, what are the things of this world to afford satisfaction to the soul? Near night, I returned to Stockbridge. In secret, I blessed God for retirement and that I am not always exposed to the company and conversation of the world. You understand retirement here is not what we call retirement at all, but being able to come out alone by yourself with God, to retire to the woods or whatever. Oh, that I could live in the secret of God's presence. Friday, December 30, was in a solemn, devout frame in the evening. Wondered that earth, with all its charms, should ever allure me in the least degree. Oh, that I could always realize the being and holiness of God. Saturday, December 31, rode from Stockbridge home to my house. The air was clear and calm, but as cold as ever I felt it, or near. I was in great danger of perishing by the extremity of the season. Was unable to meditate much on the road. Lord's Day, January 1, 1744. In the morning I had some small degree of assistance in prayer. I saw myself so vile and unworthy that I could not look my people in the face when I came to preach. Oh, my meanness, the folly, ignorance, inward pollution. And here when he says meanness, that means lowliness, not nasty. Okay. In the evening had a little assistance in prayer so that the duty was delightful rather than burdensome. Reflected on the goodness of God to me in the past year. Of a truth, God has been kind and gracious to me, though he has caused me to pass through many sorrows. He has provided for me bountifully, so that I've been enabled in about 15 months past to bestow to charitable uses about £100 New England money that I can now remember. Blessed be the Lord that has so far used me as his steward to distribute a portion of his goods. May I always remember that all I have comes from God. Blessed be the Lord that has carried me through all the toils, fatigues, and hardships of the past year, as well as the spiritual sorrows and conflicts that have attended it. Oh, that I could begin this year with God and spend the whole of it to his glory, either in life or in death. Monday, January 2, had some affecting sense of my own impotency and spiritual weakness. It is nothing but the power of God that keeps me from all manner of wickedness. I see I am nothing and can do nothing without help from above. Oh, for divine grace! In the evening had some ardor of soul in prayer and longing desires to have God for my guide and safeguard at all times. Tuesday, January 3, was employed much of the day in writing and spent some time in other necessary employment. But my time passes away so swiftly that I am astonished when I reflect on it and see how little I do. My state of solitude does not make the hours hang heavy upon my hands. Oh, what reason of thankfulness have I on account of this retirement? I find that I do not, and it seems I cannot, lead a Christian life when I am abroad, he means traveling, in other words, and cannot spend time in devotion, Christian conversation, serious meditation, as I should do. Those weeks that I am obliged now to be from home in order to learn the Indian tongue are mostly spent in perplexity and barrenness, without much sweet relish of divine things, and I feel myself a stranger at the throne of grace, for need of more frequent and continued retirement. When I return home and give myself to meditation, prayer, may I stop here and mention this meditation thing? I've been putting articles, old messages, on Sermon Audio recently on the weekends about meditation, something that most adult Christians today in our country don't have anything to do with. Here's a 20-some-year-old who's already got a hold of it and feels sad that when he doesn't do it. Meditation. Look it up. It's a Bible thing. When I return home and give myself to meditation, prayer, and fasting, a new scene opens to my mind, and my soul longs for mortification, self-denial, humility, and divorcement from all the things of the world. This evening my heart was somewhat warm and fervent in prayer and meditation, so that I was loath to indulge sleep. Continued in those duties till about midnight. Wednesday, January 4, was in a resigned and mortified temper of mind much of the day. Time appeared a moment like a vapor, and all its enjoyments as empty bubbles, fleeting blasts of wind. Thursday, January 5, had a humbling and pressing sense of my unworthiness. My sense of the badness of my own heart filled my soul with bitterness and anguish, which was ready to sink as under the weight of a heavy burden. Thus I spent the evening until late, was somewhat intense and ardent in prayer. Friday, January 6, feeling and considering my extreme weakness and in need of grace, the pollution of my soul and danger of temptations on every side, I set apart this day for fasting and prayer, neither eating nor drinking from evening to evening, beseeching God to have mercy on me. My soul intensely longed that the dreadful spots and stains of sin might be washed away from it. I saw something of the power and all-sufficiency of God. My soul seemed to rest on His power and grace, longed for resignation to His will, mortification to all things here below. My mind was greatly fixed on divine things, my resolutions for a life of mortification, continual watchfulness, self-denial, seriousness, devotion, were strong and fixed. My desires were ardent and intense, my conscience tender and afraid of every appearance of evil. My soul grieved with reflection on past levity, in need of resolution for God. I solemnly renewed my dedication of myself to God, and longed for grace to enable me always to keep covenant with Him. Time appeared very short, eternity very near, and a great name, either in or after life, together with all earthly pleasures and profits, was just an empty bubble, a deluding dream. Saturday, January 7. Spent this day in seriousness, with steadfast resolutions for God and a life of mortification. Studied closely till I felt my bodily strength fail. I felt some degree of resignation to God, with an acquiescence in His dispensations. Was grieved that I could do so little for God before my bodily strength failed. In the evening, though tired, was enabled to continue instant in prayer for some time. Spent the time in reading, meditation, prayer, until the evening was far spent. Was grieved to think that I could not watch into prayer the whole night. But, blessed be God, heaven is a place of continual and incessant devotion, though the earth is dull. The 6 days following, he continued in the same happy frame of mind. Enjoyed the same composure, calmness, resignation, ardent desire, and sweet fervency of spirit in a high degree. Every day, not one excepted. Thursday this week, he kept as a day of secret fasting and prayer. Saturday, January 14. This morning, enjoyed a most solemn season in prayer. My soul seemed enlarged and assisted to pour out itself to God for grace and for every blessing I wanted, for myself, my dear Christian friends, and for the Church of God. And was so enabled to see Him who is invisible that my soul rested upon Him for the performance of everything I asked agreeable to His will. It was then my happiness to continue instant in prayer, and was enabled to continue in it for nearly an hour. My soul was then strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Longed exceedingly for angelic holiness and purity, and to have all my thoughts at all times employed in divine and heavenly things. Oh, how blessed is a heavenly temper! Oh, how unspeakably blessed it is to feel a measure of that rectitude in which we were at first created. I felt the same divine assistance in prayer sundry times in the day. My soul confided in God for myself and for His Zion, trusted in divine power and grace, that He would do glorious things in His church on earth for His own glory. The next day he speaks of some glimpses he had of the divine glories, and of his being enabled to maintain his resolutions in some measure. But he complains that he could not draw near to God. He seems to be filled with trembling fears lest he should return to a life of vanity, to please himself with some of the enjoyments of this lower world. He speaks of his being much troubled and feeling guilty that he should address immortal souls with no more ardency and desire of their salvation. On Monday he rode down to Stockbridge, where he was distressed with the extreme cold, but notwithstanding his mind was in a devout and solemn frame in his journey. The four next days he was very ill, probably from the cold in his journey. Yet he spent the time in a solemn manner. On Friday evening he visited Mr. Hopkins, and on Saturday rode 18 miles to Salisbury, where he kept the Sabbath and enjoyed considerable degrees of God's gracious presence, assistance in duty, and divine comfort and refreshment. By the way, the word assistance keeps coming up. I've got to stop and talk about that a minute. He's not talking about other people, of course, but the Holy Spirit helping him to do a particular thing. And longing to give himself wholly to God, to be his forever. Monday, January 23rd. I think I never felt more resigned to God, nor so much dead to the world, in every respect, as now. Was dead to all desire of reputation and greatness, either in life or after death. All I longed for was to be holy, humble, crucified to the world, and so on. Tuesday, January 24. Near noon, rode over to Canaan. In the evening, I was unexpectedly visited by a considerable number of people with whom I was enabled to converse profitably of divine things. I took pains to describe the difference between a regular and irregular self-love, the one consisting with a supreme love to God, but the other not. The former uniting God's glory and the soul's happiness, that they become one common interest, the other disjoining and separating God's glory and man's happiness, seeking the latter with a neglect of the former. Illustrated this by that genuine love that is founded between the genders, which is diverse from that which is wrought up towards a person only by rational argument or hope of self-interest. Love is a pleasing passion. It affords pleasure to the mind where it is, but yet genuine love is not, nor can be, placed upon any object with the design of pleasure itself. On Wednesday, he rode to Sheffield, the next day to Stockbridge, on Saturday, home to Conamique, though the season was cold and stormy, which journey was followed with illness and pain. It appears by this diary that he spent the time, while riding, in profitable meditations and in lifting up his heart to God. And he speaks of assistance, comfort, and refreshment, but still complains of barrenness. His diary for the five next days is full of the most heavy, bitter complaints. He expresses himself as full of shame and self-loathing for his lifeless temper of mind and sluggishness of spirit, and as being in perplexity and extremity, appearing to himself unspeakably vile and guilty before God, on account of some inward workings of corruption he found in his heart. We might stop here and say, we don't know all that David Brainerd did. He talks about himself so lowly. I don't think it's all just being humble. I think he sinned, right? And when he did, he knew it, and oh, did he ever repent? He was not a perfect man. That's what this journal is about. Thursday, February 2, spent this day in fasting and prayer, seeking the presence and assistance of God that he would enable me to overcome all my corruptions and spiritual enemies. Friday, February 3, enjoyed more freedom and comfort than of late. Was engaged in meditation upon the different whispers of the various powers and affections of a pious mind. Exercised with a great variety of dispensations. That word, by the way, dispensation. This is my teaching day here. Dispensation, the whole dispensational thing didn't come about for another almost 100 years, okay? They didn't believe in dispensationalism. Dispensation is just a pouring out of grace. Exercised with a great variety of dispensations and could but write as well as meditate on so entertaining a subject. I hope the Lord gave me some true sense of divine things this day, but alas, how great and pressing are the remains of indwelling corruption. I'm now more sensible than ever that God alone is the author and finisher of our faith. That is, that the whole, every part of sanctification, every good word, work, or thought found in me is the effect of his power and grace. And that without him I can do nothing, in the strictest sense, that he works in us to will and to do of his own good pleasure, and from no other motive. Oh, how amazing it is that people can talk so much about men's power and goodness, when if God did not hold us back every moment, we would be devils incarnate. This, my bitter experience for several days last past, has abundantly taught me concerning myself. Saturday, February 4. Enjoyed some degree of freedom and spiritual refreshment. Was enabled to pray with some fervency and longing desires of Zion's prosperity, and my faith and hope seemed to take hold of God for the performance of what I was enabled to plead for. Sanctification in myself and the ingathering of God's elect was all my desire, and the hope of its accomplishment all my joy. Amen. Amen, David. God bless you. We will talk to you another time. I hope that you'll look around the website today and see some other things that will bless you. If maybe you want to go back and catch up on this if you're just joining us with David Brainerd. Next time around, we'll be talking about that other David, then the book of Romans, and then we'll repeat a little bit towards the end of the week. You will notice, just this week, I'm recording this on September 30. It's actually Sunday today. I'm going to upload this tonight so that you'll have it Monday morning. I'll be recording the others of the week today and putting them up each night so that by the morning you will have it. That's how this week will be, because of the Gideons who are in town in Chicago blitzing the city with Bibles everywhere. It's a wonderful thing. I'm a part of it. I'll be a part of it every day, Lord willing. So busy that I've had to squeeze this in another way, and I'm glad that I could. God bless you today. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk soon. Bye-bye.